I plan to begin this morning by asking a few questions to which you are welcome to respond out loud in the following manner. If you feel that the answer to something which I ask is a no-brainer, is clearly true, then feel free to say, "Of course." Number one, today is Wednesday. Does that mean that the calendars identify tomorrow as being a Thursday?
Of course.
Number two, the sun is shining high in the sky. If the world is still around this evening, will that same sun appear to set?
Of course.
Number three, the professional baseball season is now in full swing. Will the Brewers win the World Series this year? Those of you who answered, "of course," would have to admit, of course, that you are merely expressing a wish or a desire, and that cannot be something which is firmly established at this time. Number four, did Jesus rise from the dead?
Of
course can be said to that one with certainty because we have God's word on it. Now is Christ risen from the dead, we are told in the letter to the Corinthians. The epistles are filled with reminder after reminder that the Lord in fact did rise victoriously from the dead after being put to death by his enemies, an astounding occurrence of which there were hundreds of eyewitnesses. But now let me transport all of us back in time to the months leading up to that very first Easter. If we had been asked at that time, "Will Jesus rise from the dead after being put to death by his enemies?" how would we have responded? Sadly, we would have all likely responded with little more than a puzzled look, as did the disciples when Jesus pointed to the scriptures which affirmed his resurrection. The disciples simply didn't see that as reality. Jesus, on the other hand, did. Unlike his disciples, there was no question in Christ's mind that he would rise again after being put to death. And that's because his resurrection was part of the course that the Father had laid out for him and had written into the scriptures. Would Jesus rise from the dead? In Jesus' mind, of course. Prior to the events of Holy Week, Luke tells us, he, that is Jesus, took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Despite his perfect teaching and patient instruction, the Lord was surrounded by people who were blind to the certainty of the prophecies concerning Christ's resurrection, a display of spiritual ignorance that lingered even beyond the fact of his resurrection. The early rising women on Easter morning were sure they'd still find a dead body in the tomb. And when they had been informed by the angels that Christ, in fact, had risen, and they ran to tell the other disciples, were told that their words seemed to the disciples like idle tales, and they did not believe them. In addition, the disciples later that evening on the road to Emmaus failed to grasp the certainty of the prophecy of the resurrection. They had hoped, but they hadn't believed all that was written by the prophets. Jesus himself appears to be the only one in the narrative, apart from perhaps the thief on the cross, who believed that the Christ who died was also the Christ who would rise. And that's because he understood the complete reliability of the scriptures. Death and resurrection were part of the course that God had established for his Son and revealed through the prophets. And so Jesus was completely confident that the events would play out in exactly that way. It's easy for us to shake our heads at those disciples when they didn't grasp the reality of the Lord's resurrection, how could they not see what was coming? How could they not be sure of what was to take place? They were unsure and failed to grasp because of the same slowness of heart that affects us all. For how often doesn't it happen that our own level of certainty with respect to the fulfillment of God's promises wanes? How often don't we fail to trust whatever is written? For example, the Bible tells us that our sins are forgiven and that they no longer color the Lord's dealings with us, a wonderful fact which unfortunately is rejected by the old Adam, which believes that certain things negative that happen in our lives are still probably the results of our sins and punishments for them. But the scripture which announces that he has not dealt with us according to our sins or punished us according to our iniquities can be as firmly trusted as the resurrection prophecies could have been trusted by the early disciples. The Bible tells us that the Lord willingly carries the weight of all of our problems, regardless of the circumstances, a comforting fact which unfortunately is challenged by our human nature. But the scripture which directs us to cast all of our care upon him because he cares for you can be as firmly trusted as the resurrection prophecies could have been trusted by the early disciples. The Bible tells us that the Lord hears and answers the faithful prayers of Christians, a reassuring fact which unfortunately is doubted by our flesh. But the scripture which declares how the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers can be as firmly trusted as the resurrection prophecies could have been trusted by the early disciples. And the Bible tells us that the Lord is going to appear any minute to destroy all that is evil and replace everything with a new heaven and a new earth, an amazing fact which unfortunately becomes less and less of a focus for us as every day seems to continue as everyone preceding it. But the scripture which quotes the Lord as saying, "I am coming quickly," can be as firmly trusted as those resurrection scriptures could have been trusted by the early disciples. There are many powerful principles which emanate from the central event of our Lord's resurrection on Easter morning. And one of them is this fact that the scriptures will be fulfilled. No matter how unreasonable something in the Bible might seem to our human reason, no matter how unlikely something might seem to human nature, no matter how nonsensical something might strike our senses, it will take place if it is part of the course which God has established and revealed in his word. Did Jesus die? Did Jesus rise? Are sins forgiven? Has the power of death been destroyed? Will the Lord help us? Will God protect us? Will he work all things out for the good of his people? Will he finally return to bring us to his glory? The scriptures say yes, and that means of course. A hymn, an Easter hymn, which speaks of the certainty of the Lord's word is found in number 202, 202, stanzas 1 and 3, 202, 1 and 3.